Hello, everybody. It's Tani here. I thought that was a nice place to stop the music at the end of the song. So, welcome, everybody, to this week five of our course. I can't believe we're up to the second last session. It's quite amazing how fast it's all gone. Just wanted to check everyone can hear me okay. So, if you can hear me pretty clearly, press one. If I sound very distorted, press two. Oh, good. I'm seeing lots of ones. Excellent. Take those hands down. So I've been receiving a lot of feedback from people, and I've also seen a lot of comments being posted on the Facebook group that all of the work we've been doing in the last few weeks around intention and connecting to our hearts when we're speaking, and also the work we've been doing with the body has been very, very helpful for people. I know that a lot of people have been starting to practice. Practice is what this is all about, practicing it in small baby steps. That's what's really important. I'm actually just going to turn the volume down on my Skype a little bit because it's making very funny noises. So hang on one sec. Let's see if I can figure that out. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to change the settings. This is the thing with modern technology. We have to play around with it a little bit sometimes. Speakers. Okay, excellent. So welcome everybody. I'm just seeing more and more people pop up on the call, so I'm sure in the next few minutes we're going to have more people joining us. So today we're going to go a little bit further with what we were working on last week about speaking from the heart and speaking from the head, and we're going to look a little bit at how to add some planning back into our speaking, but in a very different way than we've probably done it before. So that when we're speaking, we don't feel completely lost, and yet at the same time, we're still free and connected to our heart and can bring the information through that needs to come through at the time. So we're going to be looking at that. We're also going to be looking a little bit at managing the energy of an audience, which is something that's very, very crucial in speaking, and we touch on it in this course. We are probably going to go into it in a lot more detail if we end up deciding to do some small coaching groups after this. But I'm going to touch on it today because it is really crucial, and I know some of you are very interested in that. So I just want to start by just letting you guys know that you can probably hear in my voice I'm not my normal chirpy self today. I've actually been doing a huge spring clean on my house and moving furniture around, and there was an accident and I injured myself on the weekend quite badly, so I'm in very high level of pain. And I was going to cancel the class, but then I thought, no, I really want to keep going because we're doing such great work, and I know that all of you are in it coming from a place of love, and I know you'll be an understanding audience if my mind is not quite as focused as usual. And I also thought it's an interesting lesson and example, because you probably will hear today a contrast in my ability to speak compared to how I normally speak. I'm definitely feeling that myself in this moment. And it really illustrates something that I was talking about last week, or it might have been the week before, about how much our body plays a role in our being in the world and in our speaking. And I'm really been noticing in the last couple of days, because some of you know that in my 20s I suffered from chronic pain for about a decade, and my body was very stiff and I was constantly in pain. And then the last 5, 6 years my body's been really good thanks to all the Feldenkrais that I've done, and I've been felt very free and flowing and not much pain and very joyful in my body. And my whole state of mind has been radically different. And my emotional responses have been different, and the way I move through the world have been different since I freed my body up. And having this experience of 2 or 3 days, and I know it's only temporary and I'll be fine by the end of the week, but having this experience for 2 or 3 days of being back in that state of constant pain and stiffness and hobbling around has shown me that it doesn't just affect the body. I've been noticing in myself, and I'm sure some of you can relate to this, I've been noticing how my thinking has been very different than usual. I've been much less able to stay neutral and calm. I've been taking things a lot more personally than I usually do. I've been much more easily irritated. My fear body and my pain body have been coming up. So I've been operating much more from fear than from love. I've been finding it harder to stay in my heart. I'm finding it harder to bring information through me in a free and effortless way like I normally do. And so it's really showing me that what I've been teaching people really is powerful that the more we can connect to our body, the more we can free our body. It's not just about our speaking. It actually shifts entirely who we're being. And it's actually, even though it's not a very pleasant few days for me to go through, it's actually really motivating me to keep teaching this work to people about the importance of having a free, neutral, connected body, because I'm really seeing in these few days how dramatically it affects our ability to embody ourselves in the world, stay neutral, stay calm, stay in our hearts, stay coming from a place of love. So you may find my energy a little bit different today, and just take that as an example of what I'm teaching, that my body's quite stiff right now, and so my thinking may not be as free as usual. So I just want to use it as an example. And I'm sure many of you can relate to this in your own life. You may have had periods where your body has been in a much freer, happier, more neutral state, and you've noticed that you've responded to the world more easily, to family situations, to crises. What I do know is that many years ago, if I had injured myself like this, I would have been in bed for many, many, many weeks. Whereas now, with the extraordinary knowledge that I've learned through my Feldenkrais training, I pretty much haven't spent any time in bed. I've been just slowly pottering around the house, and I'm already dramatically better than I was 2 days ago. And that's because I've been moving through the house very gently, listening to myself, getting on the floor, rolling around, putting on some Feldenkrais CDs, and I'm unrecognizably better already than I was 2 days ago, and I know it's because of all of the training I've done in body awareness. So I just want to let you know that lesson you did last week, when you, I'm hoping all of you have done that now, where you lay on the floor and you did those movements. I know that many of you noticed that it really affected not just your speaking voice, not just your posture, not just your pain levels, and not just your freedom in your body, but also your state of mind, your sense of yourself. I want to let you know that if you keep doing that kind of exploration, if you find a Feldenkrais teacher or find some CDs, or if I somehow get some lessons to you at some point, if I run some more classes or something, that if you go down that path, you will not only continue to free your body up, continue to have a less painful, more flexible, effortless, moving, feminine body, but you'll also start to find that if you ever do injure yourself, you'll have a lot more awareness of yourself, so that you'll be able to recover much faster. You'll be able to respond to life from a more neutral place, a calmer place. You just have more options in your life, because what I've noticed in the last 3 days is that I have a lot less options than I normally do in terms of my responses to things, because my body's so sore and stiff compared to usual. So it's really shown me how powerful that work is. So I just wanted to share that with you, and I think that as a speaker, it's very important to be authentic. And I really want to model that for you today. If I had come onto this call and tried to pretend that I have my normal energy and my normal happiness and just act like everything was fine, which is what most speakers would do because they want to look professional, then something in my energy field would not have felt congruent with what I was saying. You would have been hearing me sounding chipper and, you know, taking you through the content like I normally do, but you will be able to sense, and particularly if you could see me right now, if I was on stage, you would be able to see the pain in my body. You'd be able to see that I was stiff. You'd be able to see I was bracing myself. You'd be able to see that I'm protecting myself while I stand. You can probably hear my voice sounds a lot different than usual because my body's held very differently. And so if I had stood up and tried to pretend everything was fine, which is what most speakers would do, you would start to switch off as you're listening, because you know, people know when they're being lied to, and it doesn't even mean conscious lying. It's just when people stand on stage and do bravado, it puts the audience off. Whereas when you stand up and you say to your audience something like, you know, guys, I'm so excited to be here with you today, but I have to let you know, this is the first time I've ever spoken on this topic, so I'm kind of nervous about it, but I'm also really excited because it's an amazing opportunity for all of us to see what's going to come out of my mouth, and I think it's going to be something pretty exciting. You know, if you start with a statement of vulnerability like that, that is truthful, not that you're putting it on, if you start with a statement of vulnerability, you have won your audience over from the beginning because they feel your humanity, they connect with you, they're rooting for you, they're cheering for you. Whereas if you stand up and pretend like you're really confident, if you're not, and you've done this a million times but you haven't, or your body's feeling great but actually you've just injured yourself, or, you know, or you something terrible just happened in your life, but you pretend everything's fine, people will feel that. And one of the most powerful speeches I ever saw delivered was by an American activist called Van Jones, who some of you might know in the US. And he was delivering a speech to a room full of environmental and social justice activists, and it was a very big occasion. And he was the keynote speaker, and I saw the video of this. It's one of the most powerful things I ever saw in my whole life. He walked in late, and, you know, that didn't look very good. And then his face looked very stressed, and his eyes were very red. And instead of giving this slick, polished speech that everyone was expecting, he started by saying, "I've just come from the hospital. My father is dying. I'm in a very high state of distress right now. But I chose to come to this talk because I know how important it is to help shift people on this planet. And I want to channel all the pain I'm feeling right now into what I'm going to say to you." And then he did that. He spoke all about his love for his father and the things his father had inspired him in. And somehow he used the stories of his father to show why he had become an activist and why he wanted to help save the world. And his speech that he just made up off the top of his head, which was all about self-responsibility and taking responsibility for our actions and shifting this planet, was honestly the most powerful speech I have ever seen. And we were just riveted. We were all watching this DVD, and we were just all riveted. And I still talk about that speech that he gave. And the reason it was so powerful was he was so vulnerable. He made himself so vulnerable in the opening minutes, and he drew on the reality of how he was feeling for the talk. And I hadn't planned to talk to you about any of this today. It's just, this is where I'm at. So it has forced me to have to talk about this. And so now I'm sharing with you a very powerful learning that wasn't actually in the intention for today's class. And that learning is that if you make yourself vulnerable, rather than trying to put on an act of bravado, you will connect much more powerfully to your audience, and your talk will come from a much more powerful place, and the content that will come out of that current situation and be authentic and be way more powerful. And in fact, if I had tried to just pretend I was fine and ignore the fact that I've injured myself and I'm in a lot of pain and just run with my plan for today, I wouldn't have told you any of that that I just told you, and you wouldn't have learned that. So that's another example of it. So I just want to encourage you, public speaking is not about being perfect. Public speaking is only about one thing, connection. Connection to your audience, connection to yourself, connection to your subject matter. If you are connected to yourself, whether that's acknowledging that you're feeling tired or sad or excited or happy, if you're connected to your heart, if you're connected to your higher self, if you're connected to your body, if you're connected to your subject matter, and if you're connected to your audience, your speech will be powerful. And it doesn't matter if you drop all your papers all over the floor, or you forget your content, or you mix up your points, or you've left your notes at home, or something happens which changes your entire content that you never thought you'd talk about. None of that matters if you're connected. Whereas we've all seen speakers who are not connected to themselves, they're not connected to their audience, they're not connected to their subject matter, they're not connected to their heart, they're totally in their head, the whole thing is perfect, slick with a PowerPoint presentation and all these perfect points and all these facts, and you never remember a word that they said. If you even could concentrate on most of it, probably most of us will have switched off halfway through. We're certainly not cheering for this person. Often we find them very off-putting. I'm going to invite you to go out into the world and start watching speakers, whether it's just friends standing up and making a toast at a wedding, or whether it's professional speakers, or whether it's speakers on the television, or whether it's speakers across the dinner table from you, and notice which ones you warm to. And is it because they're polished and perfect, or is it because they're connected and authentic? And I think you'll probably find, most of you, that it's the latter in most cases. And I'm just saying all this because I know that so many people have fears of public speaking that come from this belief that it needs to go perfectly and smoothly without a hitch, and it's all about how perfect the content is and how slick it is and how great I looked and how polished I was and how much I stuck to my plan. And actually none of that is what makes your speech powerful or memorable or impactful, or none of it is what makes your speech have an impact so that it changes people. So it's kind of interesting that this has come up today, because I'm not in a very good state as a speaker, so I've been forced to be honest about that and be vulnerable. And I think you can hear that powerful stuff is still coming out, even though that's the situation. So that's kind of exciting. So I just want to start, before we get into today's content, to talk a little bit about what we did last week, because I think last week really was the heart of this course. I'm hoping all of you have had a chance to either do the class live on Wednesday or do the follow-up call on Sunday or have listened to it at least. We looked at speaking from the heart and speaking from the head, and we did a first little baby steps kind of exercise of actually doing both and really contrasting the two experiences, both as a speaker and as a listener. And in the speaking from the head, we did a lot of planning for those 3 or 4 minutes before we spoke, planning how to be convincing, how to be compelling, how to teach someone, how to make them see your point, which is really what a lot of us do when we speak from our head. We become very entertaining or slick or charismatic or convincing. And we all saw what that felt like to do and what that felt like to listen to. And then you had a very small experience of, a very big experience, but in a short period of time, of speaking from your heart without planning the content at all. And all you did in the minute leading up to it was prepare yourself. You couldn't prepare the content because I didn't give you any time, I didn't tell you the topic, but you could prepare yourself. So you calmed yourself. We did a heart meditation. You got into your heart. You set your intention. And you saw how everyone spoke quite freely. There was no stumbling over words. People were actually making very powerful points. And also the perspective of your speaking was different. When I listened, when I flipped around and I listened, I could really hear, and also on Sunday night when we did this, I could really hear how the people speaking from their heart were sharing from their own experience, which is way more powerful than just stating a bunch of facts. Like when I shared my experience of listening to Van Jones speak, that was probably more powerful than if I just told you some academic statistics about people speaking. So when we come from storyline, when we come from our own experience, it's always more powerful. In the coaching groups I did last time, we went into a lot more detail about how to use story in an authentic way rather than in a manipulative way. And I'm happy to look at that again if anyone continues the coaching, if we end up doing that again this time. But it's enough for now just to say that story is powerful when it comes from your own authentic experience. I mean, it's done from the point of view of sharing rather than of manipulating people's energy. And often stories are used for the latter purpose. But just what you guys were doing last week when you were speaking from your heart was just sharing from your own personal experience. I heard a lot of the word I heard a lot more story rather than facts, and I really could feel the energy was just coming from a place of sharing rather than persuading, and the irony is that you were all more persuasive in the second talk than when you were trying to persuade. And that's a really big thing to know. And many people shared, both on Wednesday and Sunday night, that their experience as a listener, when they were listening to people speaking from their head, they felt either put off or hard to engage, or they found their own mind racing and criticizing and analyzing and judging. Whereas when they were listening to the people speaking from the heart, they were able to just really listen and take the information in and remember it. And it had much more impact and was more memorable. So that's a powerful thing that we all experienced. So what I'm curious is to hear if anything has come up for any of you in the week since we did that exercise, if any of you have had a chance to practice in your daily life, listening to people, noticing when they're speaking from their head, when they're speaking from their heart, if you've had a chance to practice yourself speaking from the head and speaking from the heart, even if it was just on the phone or just at the dinner table. I was curious to see those of you who are with this. I know some of you have. So I'd like you to press 1 if you have anything you want to share about this. And I'm going to really encourage a few people to share because this is a very, very crucial topic in this course. And I guarantee that anything that's coming into your mind or heart to share at the moment will be very helpful for at least one other person on the call, probably for everyone on the call. So I'm just going to wait until we have a few people press 1. Or maybe you've just had a chance to sit with what we did last week and really notice some shifts that came out of it for you or some realizations that came out of it for you. So I see Lyndon has pressed 1, but I'm going to invite 2 other people to share as well. So go ahead, Lyndon.
I've had a couple of very interesting experiences this week. Just yesterday, I finished some coaching sessions that I've been having, and I decided that it was time to move on from that. And he just said to me, well, can you give me a testimonial? And I thought, oh. And then I was just sitting there thinking, and I realised that I was acting in my head because nothing was coming to me. So I just sort of just thought, okay, I'm in my head, just take a deep breath. And I started just, and I closed my eyes and just sunk into my heart, and all these amazing stuff came out. It was such a beautiful feeling, because when I was in my head, because I wasn't expecting to actually have to end this session, these sessions was a hard enough thing, and I wasn't expecting him to ask me to do a testimonial on the spot. So it was, but it was just an amazing experience to just actually drop straight into my heart, and all the things that had been fantastic about the sessions just came out. So that was amazing. Just that difference where I couldn't think anything about what I could say about what was good, because I guess I hadn't been, you know, the reason I was finishing it was, you know, was there was reasons for that. So that was interesting. Yeah. And also I've been delivering some, as part of one of my roles is that I need to deliver a 10-minute talk at breakfast meetings. And I've had to do my rounds for my chapters this week. And the first time I did it, I thought that I was in my heart, but I actually realised that I wasn't, because the last couple of times I've done it, the groups have all said, that was fantastic, that was really, thank you very much for that, that was great content, we're going to use it in our chapters as an ongoing thing. And it was just, yeah, so just being in your heart, just, you know, I had fun with it, I had, but really sort of dug deep as well. So yeah, it's been really quite an amazing experience, so. Yeah.
Well done, Lyndon. Thanks so much. Thanks for sharing that. I just want to draw people's attention to something Lyndon said early on in that piece about how when she was asked to do the testimonial and she was coming from her head, she couldn't think of anything to say. And then when she dropped into her heart, all these words flowed out. And one of the things that we've really been looking at in this course is how to strip away the things that interfere with our natural intelligence. And by intelligence, I mean our heart intelligence, our spiritual intelligence, our higher intelligence. And one of the things that interferes with that is being in our head, because our head is so full of chatter and self-judgment and criticism and fear and paralysis that it's very hard to let the intelligence come through. And when we can learn these skills that you're all learning to drop out of your head, drop into your heart, drop into your body, then intelligence comes out of your mouth. You know, deep intelligence comes out of your mouth. And sometimes very, very clever things can come out of your mouth. Sometimes very powerful things can come out of your mouth. And your mind is there as an observer. And so I'm really glad that Lyndon shared that, because that's a really beautiful example of it. Lyndon's story also really illustrates what I've been talking about building levels of trust. And so each time you have one of these experiences like she described, where you catch yourself in your head and then you drop into your heart and you see the difference, you are telling your nervous system, you're telling your subconscious, you're telling your higher self, hey, this stuff works. Wow, I noticed a difference here. It's like when I work with my Feldenkrais clients and, you know, they come in at the start of the session and their ribs are very stiff, or their shoulders are stiff, or they're holding their pelvis in a particular way, or whatever their habit is that they've had for many years. And then I work with them with my hands, and at the end of the lesson that habit's changed and they stand up and their body's very neutral and free and they feel amazing and they walk and they're flowing and they feel great. And then I say to them the dreaded words that they all hate. I say, now tighten your chest again, or go back into the old habit with your pelvis or whatever they were doing, and walk and see what it feels like. And they go, oh, but I don't want to because it feels so nice right now. And I go, no, it's really important. Go and do that. And so they walk with their old stiff pattern or their old holding pattern or whatever their pattern was, and they feel the difference. And in that moment, they learn. Their nervous system gets to make a comparison between the old way that wasn't serving them and the new way that is serving them. And I really encourage you guys to play with going backwards and forwards, because it's actually in the backwards and forwards that we learn. So people start to think, oh gosh, I just went into my head, I failed, I messed up. And I don't say they fail. I say, excellent, I'm so glad that happened, because that's the way you learn. That's how your brain and your nervous system and your subconscious makes the comparison and has a moment of choice. So as you start playing with this, you're going to have times where you're going to catch yourself that you were talking from your head, and that's fine. We all do it. I still do it all the time. And then you go, oh, excellent, I just noticed it. Well, firstly, it's amazing to even notice it, because that's a huge level of awareness, because most people doing this stuff and don't notice it. Secondly, then you have a moment where you can choose to try the other way, speaking from the heart, and then you have a clear comparison in your nervous system, and your subconscious, your brain, your higher self can choose in the future which one was the easiest, which one flowed the better, and then you have a new level of trust within yourself that you're capable of speaking from your heart. So I really encourage you just to pay attention, start catching yourself at when have you been doing, when am I in my heart, when am I in my head, not from judgment, but from observation. Okay, I spoke to my mum today from my head, notice how that went, and then this afternoon I spoke to my sister, I think I was more in my heart then, how did that go, how did my words land differently? So it's not about, oh, I was terrible, or oh, I was really good. There's no judgment. It's just interesting, and you observe it, and you see the differences. So that's really the place we're coming from, non-judgment observation. So thank you so much, Lyndon, because that was really powerful stuff to share. I know that anyone who presses 1, whatever you share, is going to be really helpful for people. So I'm going to pass now to Denise, who has her hand up. Go ahead.
Hi, Chani. How are you?
Good, thanks.
That's good. I missed the class last week and the follow-up, but I have listened to it, and what I realized in myself is, first of all, I really appreciated the support inside of myself and with you girls, because to speak from your heart, I've never been taught that before, and I had trouble trying to speak from my head to explain things anyway, so this is just, I feel like I'm home. It's just something I've really been looking for a long time, and I've realized that the support within being in your heart is so huge compared to the criticism you hear in your head. It's such a nicer place to be, and yeah, I really got to thank you all for that. I'm stoked. And a little emotional as well, but yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Oh, I'm glad that you're emotional, because it is big stuff. It's really important. Thank you so much. I just want to speak to that for a moment, that there tends to be two different kinds of groups of women who end up in this course. One group of people like Denise, who never quite felt comfortable with the traditional style of speaking, that the being persuasive and that being clever and having the facts and being entertaining and the masculine way of speaking, which is fine and it has its place in the world, but a lot of women, a lot of heart-based women, aren't comfortable with that and found it difficult, and so always felt like a failure when they were asked to speak that way. And then when given permission to speak in a way that's more natural for them, which is coming from flow, from heart, from a sense of connectedness, suddenly it can feel like coming home. It can be very powerful coming home for people. So those of you that are having that experience, I want to really acknowledge that and honor that. And then there are women in the opposite situation for whom, and I was probably more an example of the women in the opposite situation, who were very good at speaking from the heart, who learned early on to master it, to be compelling, charismatic, entertaining, persuasive, masculine energy, think coming from the head, and I was a top champion debater and went to Oxford and stood up in front of high court judges and argued. And, you know, I was very good at all of that, but it came at a high price, because I wasn't authentic, I wasn't connected to my body, so I ended up crippled. I wasn't connected to my heart, so I was unable to feel my emotions or speak my truth. And my charisma and cleverness came at the price of exhaustion, because it takes a lot of testosterone and masculine energy to constantly speak like that. It's okay to do it from time to time if you need to for a particular occasion, but if it's the only way you know to speak, which is usually the example of women like I was, who are very good at speaking like that, we tend to do it all the time, it's very exhausting. It can be very disconnecting from the body and the heart. So for those women, this course can feel unfamiliar. So it doesn't feel like coming home. It feels like being really, really stretched. And I've had a lot of women do this course who found they're doing the head stuff really easy and they're doing the heart stuff really challenging and new and a bit scary, and that's okay, because we're all coming from a different place. I really wanted to speak to both groups, and you may find that you're very clearly in one of those two groups, or you may find you're somewhere in the middle. And that's okay. Everyone's coming from a very different place, and that's why we're just all building levels of trust in our own time and at our own speed. But just know that this process is supporting of you wherever you're coming from, whether you're coming from a history of feeling unsafe and unsettled in the masculine world, or whether you're coming from a place of loving that but finding it exhausting and not working for you anymore. Both, lots of people are going to be supported through this process. So I just wanted to speak to that because that may help some of you. And then I'm just seeing one last person has put their hand up. Margia, go ahead.
Hi, thank you for calling on me. I have a question. I love how you've underscored the difference of speaking from the heart, speaking from the head. And one thing I've really noticed, I just came from a creative writing group. And I find that I'm just so much more creative when it's coming from the heart. But the question that I have is that I find that what I do is if I feel safe and have trust, it's easy for me to come from the heart. And a lot of the time I don't. And so I don't share, or I stumble along from the head. And there's a gap between choosing to feel safe or trust. Obviously, some cases it's not safe and it's better to keep your mouth shut. But there's probably a lot of cases where, you know, risking to really come from your heart is growth that could, you know, open up the creativity and make a connection. And there is a risk there. So I wondered if you'd speak to that because it's a real issue.
Yeah, that's a great question. Thank you so much. I'm sure that's a question that's coming up for everyone. And that's why one of the reasons that I talk about taking baby steps and building levels of trust is because of this situation. Some people have had experiences in the past where they have opened up and I suppose been burned in a way. And so I have two responses to what you said. One is to start with building levels of trust. So choose the places to speak from your heart where you feel safe and be really clear about that. And so you can start with, okay, which of my friends do I really feel comfortable around that I could start practicing speaking from the heart? And then maybe once you've done that, you go, okay, that went really well. It wasn't interesting. When I spoke from my heart with that woman, she then dropped into her heart and that all flowed very differently. Because what you start to find is, as you start to risk doing it with the easiest people first, you see that when you drop into your heart, they then can drop into their heart and things flow very differently. And then once you have a degree of feeling safer around that, then you can pick someone who maybe you think of as more of a head person, but you know they still love you, they still like you, and then you might speak with them for a while and you notice that, hey, isn't it interesting, when I drop into my heart, she actually is very different. You know, I've done experiments like this where I've been around people who speak super fast and super in their head like I used to, and they want me to join them there. They want me to meet them there. They want me to start speaking hyper speed and being all intellectual, and I just make it conscious choice to try and experiment and see what happens if I don't. I just stay in my heart, and instead of engaging them where they're coming from and telling them, oh, yeah, I totally agree. My God, that's so interesting. I just say, how do you feel about that? You know, I ask them a heart question, and I just keep doing that. I keep pausing, taking a breath, calm, asking the heart question, and you know what happens? They start to drop out of their head, and they start to come into their heart. But I'm doing it without any expectation. I'm not trying to change them. I'm just doing it as an experiment for myself, just to play, just to see how I feel. But what I've noticed is that they start to shift, and then it becomes more of a safe space for me. And then once you've, you know, played with that for a while, you might find that you then have the confidence to know that you can stand up in front of anyone and start to speak from your heart. And you'll find that when you do it from a place of trust, the response is very different than when you do it from a place of fear. So as you start to build levels of trust, when you go into those environments, let's say you're in a group, you've just done a workshop and they're asking everyone to go around the circle and share their experiences. And sometimes in those environments, people can feel very scared to speak, you know, because it's personal stuff we're sharing or whatever. You'll start to find that if you're coming from trust, because you've been practicing this, you've built up levels of trust, the words are going to come out very differently than if you think you're speaking from your heart, but really you're coming from fear. And the second thing I'll say is one of the keys to this about speaking from the heart in situations that feel unsafe is what I'm going to talk about if there's time toward the end of today, but I may as well speak to it a little bit now, which is it really comes down to our expectations. So if you're in an environment that you feel like, oh, these people are all really judgmental, close-minded, head people. Now, let's take the most extreme example where you're in a room full of very cynical head people and you want to talk from your heart about something. Now, if your expectation is that you're going to speak from your heart and change them or transform them or be received well by them or anything, you're going to be disappointed. Whereas if you're coming from, I'm just going to share this because this is my experience, this is my truth, I have no interest or attachment to how they respond, they may laugh out loud, they may totally agree with me, they may tell me I'm an idiot, they may scoff, who knows, but whatever they do is just showing me who they are and where they're at, it's got nothing to do with me. And if you come from that place of having no attachment to how people respond, what is interesting is when you speak, they feel your energy field is clear. They don't feel that you're trying to change them. They don't get gripped by fear. And they can actually hear what you say. And often you'll be surprised that it actually lands surprisingly well with people that you never would have thought it would because you're not coming from any kind of expectation of how they're going to respond. So the two things I really will say to you, Maggio, and to everyone else who's grappling with this is just practice building your level of trust in your own ability to speak from your heart. Start by picking groups of people that are very obviously safe, and then once you know that you did that really easily, then pick people who maybe you might have thought would be a little bit more challenging, but stay in your heart, come from love, not from fear, and have no expectations of their response, and you'll probably be surprised that they'll actually respond better than you think. And as you build more and more levels of trust in A, your ability to speak from the heart, and B, your ability to speak without attachment to the other person's response, then you can walk into any situation and speak. But that takes time to build both of those things, building A, your ability to speak from your heart, which is what we're doing in this course, and B, building your ability to speak without attachment to the response from the other person, which we're going to do a little bit of in the coaching groups because I like to look at that because it's important. As you build your ability to speak from your heart and your ability to speak without being attached to the response of the other people, you will start to find you can speak in any environment from your heart, regardless of who the audience is, because nothing will feel unsafe. It only feels unsafe if we have an attachment to the other person's response. If we're not attached to that, then we can just speak to express our truth. And any response that comes up from the other person, we know it's just showing us where they're at in their evolution, where they're at in their life choices, what their level of consciousness is, what their belief system is. You know, if I share from my heart at the start of this call, guys, I've injured myself really badly, I'm not as my normal, you know, flowing self, I don't feel as cheerful, you can probably hear my voice sounds a bit less enthusiastic, you know, my thoughts not flowing, and there could be people on the call who would go, oh my God, she's not very professional. She shouldn't be teaching us when she's lying on the floor in pain and, you know, this is ridiculous. I'm out of here. Now, if someone had reacted like that, I'm not going to take that personally. It just shows me this is where the person is at. This is their level of compassion. This is the kind of expectations they had of the course. They're wanting it to be slick. They're interested in slick, so maybe it's not the right course for them. Maybe they need to be in a different course. It has no reflection on me because I'm just sharing my truth. My truth doesn't change depending on what someone else thinks about it. So I know that's a huge thing for us to be able to do, to speak from the heart without being attached to the other person's response. I'm not saying it's easy. What I am saying is it's a muscle that we can build, and we build it through practice. So as I said, you start with people that are easier, and then you get a level of trust in your ability to connect to your heart and your ability to be not attached to their response, and you pick issues that aren't so important to practice with. So I'm just sharing with someone what happened today at the supermarket is going to be much safer than you sharing, you know, some story of childhood abuse or something with someone. You know, so you pick topics that are less scary for you and you share them from your heart without an attachment to the response and you see that it goes well, and then the next time you'll pick maybe a less open person and you'll pick a more personal topic and you'll see that you could speak from your heart and you weren't attached to the response from them. And it's building the muscle of trusting your ability to just speak your own truth. And it's just a process of learning and practicing. But I'm really, really glad Maggio brought it up because it's absolutely a real issue. Is that helpful for you, Maggio?
That was great. I love especially the non-attachment part. And it just made me realize that on some level I feel like a crusader. I feel like it's time to change power into a feminine mode, and speaking from the heart is part of it. So I find myself going out on a limb by doing that, and you've helped put it in a context, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, and also that whole crusader thing.
I want to be able to speak from my heart no matter who I am, no matter who I'm with, where I am. That's what I really want. And that isn't always possible.
Yeah.
But, it was very helpful what you said.
Oh, good. And I also just want to just address that about the crusader thing, because I think most of the women on this course, myself included, are working in areas that we're very passionate about, things that we believe are crucial for changing the world. And what I have learned is that if we go out as a crusader, which basically means we're attached to transforming people and changing the world, our energy comes out with a push and a charge. Whereas if we come out just to share what we're passionate about, then actually our words land more powerfully with people. So it's just an interesting balance in saying, okay, I'm passionate about this, I care about this, but I'm not attached to what anyone else does in response to this. I would love it if people totally went out and transformed as a result of this speech, but I'm okay if they don't, because I'm just going to accept where they're at in this moment in time, and all I can do is speak what I'm passionate about. It's very different than getting on stage with all this energy of, I've got to shift this audience, I've got to shift this audience, I've got to change the world. People can feel it, and it sets you up for disappointment, and actually your words don't land as well. So I just wanted to really address that, because I know it's going to be really key for all of us in the work that we're doing, the powerful transformational work we're doing, to just be keep practicing being unattached to the response, being unattached to the response. I'm just sharing this because it's my truth. My hope is that it lands with you. My hope is that it's transformational, but I'm okay if it's not.
Great.
Beautiful.
No, I totally get it. I think it was somatics, but it was also some of my bravado coming in there. So well taken. Thank you.
No, it's good, because anything that comes up is helpful for everyone else. I sort of suspected you didn't actually mean that when you said it, but I just wanted to use it as a chance to talk about that, because I think it's really important. I'm just going to pass to Petra as the last person to talk about this, and then we're going to keep going with our processes for today. But this is all really important stuff, what's coming out right now, so it's great. Go ahead, Petra.
Good morning, guys. Just when I heard you talking then, I suppose something interesting has been coming up for me, because part of this speaking is for me, for speaking in the greater world. But what has also come up for me is speaking my truth, and I know Tony's mentioned it with family and things like that, but when that conversation was happening, I'm actually trialing that with issues with my family. And what I found interesting, and what I've is the fact that for so long, because I haven't fitted in the mold of how everyone expected me to be or behave or whatever else, I lost who I was. And now I'm turning around and I was actually practicing speaking from the heart after we did the last session on the weekend. And I thought, gee, I like that. Gee, I like being me. Sometimes I mightn't be totally diplomatic. However, I thought, how can it be wrong if I'm speaking from my heart? This is how I feel. And why should I try and be someone different? And I suppose that's the difference between this bravado, this facade, and the conversation even came up again yesterday about how we sell. We all sell ourselves. And I'm thinking, what kind of image do I want to sell? Do I want to sell the real me, or do I want to sell something that I think somebody else will appreciate? So that really came up for me. And I thought, for me, that's all part of it. It's not just public speaking to somebody outside, but it's also within the people that you really love, because if you're in your truth, how can that be wrong?
Exactly. It's actually only wrong if we're attached to a particular outcome that we don't get. So if we're speaking with our family and they react with judgment, or they react in their own way, then we can feel wrong because of how they've reacted. But it's not what we're saying that's wrong. If we're speaking our own truth, then that's our truth. It's as simple as that. There's no right or wrong. It's truth. Truth is truth. But if we're attached to how the other person responds and they don't like what we say, or they think we're weird, or then we can make ourselves feel wrong because we take personally their response.
as opposed to, this is my truth, truth is truth, this is how I feel, there's no right or wrong about it, it's just my truth. If they choose to go, oh, you're a weirdo, then all that does is show me where they're at. It shows me their thinking, it shows me their beliefs, it shows me their filters, it shows me that what they're listening for, it shows me where they're at, you know, it's got nothing to do with me. And if you start to walk around the world coming from that place, that I'm going to honor my truth, and however people react is how they react, it just shows me where they're at, you'll start to see things shift around you. I don't pull it off all the time, I'm not pretending I do, but the more I have done, and I've really practiced this with my family, this course, very much what Petra's saying, is not just for public speaking. A lot of the people doing this course have no interest in public speaking. It's just about speaking. Speaking is the same whether it's in front of your father or it's in front of 10,000 people. There's no difference. The only thing that makes it different is our level of fear around it. For some people, 10,000 people is less scary than speaking in front of their father. That's the irony. For some people, speaking in front of their family is no problem, but speaking in front of 10,000 people is a nightmare. The only thing that's different is our level of fear. The process is the same. This is me. This is how I feel. This is my truth. This is what I want to share with you. This is what's important to me. I'm going to speak it, connect it to myself without any attachment to how you receive it. And then it's up to the audience how they receive it. Usually, though, when we're coming from that place, they tend to receive it actually surprisingly much better and more easily than when we have an agenda behind our words. Because as I've said over and over, people can feel our agenda. So it's really, I'm so excited to hear, Petra, that you're practicing this with your family, because that is sometimes the hardest place to practice it. I mean, I had some experiences last year. You know, I'm really good at speaking in public. I have no issues around that. I can speak in front of 100,000 people. But speaking in front of my family, my truth, that for me was my fears all day. That was my challenge. And the particular people in my family that reacted terrible anger if you say something that they don't like. And so I'd grown up never speaking my truth, always walking on eggshells, just terrified of it. And last year, I got to the point in my own journey where I was able to speak my absolute truth to the person who scared me the most in my family. He'd always screamed at me. And it was amazing because I was totally clear that I'd finally got to the point where I absolutely was not attached to the outcome. I was quite fine if I never saw them again, if they hated me, if they screamed at me. I was not attached to it. I just knew I needed to speak my truth and set my boundaries. And what was really interesting was the entire world changed. The whole family dynamic changed after that day. This person actually did hear what I said. They went away and really thought about it. I never thought they would. I wasn't attached to it. I wasn't expecting it. I had absolutely no idea that they were going to do that. I just totally was not attached to the outcome in any way. And for the first time ever, this person shifted. I think previously I would have either not said anything because I was terrified, or I would have said something hoping and praying that it would make a difference. And it was only when I got to the point of purely speaking for my own truth without any attachment, I was holding the space for the possibility of that person to shift, but I wasn't attached to that outcome. And that's a really important difference that I want to share with you guys right now, because it's just coming to that. When we speak our truth, it's okay to hold the space for someone else to transform. You know, if I'm standing on stage talking about saving the environment and I'm passionate about it, and I'm holding the space for the people in the room to have some epiphanies and to change, but I'm not expecting them to. I'm not asking them to. I'm not requiring them to. I don't need them to. I'm just holding that possibility for them. It may be right for them. It may not be right for them. They may choose to. They may not choose to. Either way, I'm not upset with the outcome, but at the same time, I'm not writing them off completely. So there's a balance between having no expectations, but also still holding the space for the possibility of the highest possible reaction. So if I'm in a scary environment and I choose to speak my truth, I hold the space for the possibility that these people will receive what I'm saying, but I'm not expecting them to. I'm not hoping that they will. I'm okay whatever they do. I'm not attached to the outcome. I'm just holding the space for the possibility. And if you do that, what's interesting is people tend to rise to that. They don't feel pressured. I've seen it over and over again in my personal life and in group situations. So I just want to check that that's a distinction that makes sense. I'm just going to ask Petra because she's on the phone still. Does that make sense to you, that distinction?
Yeah, Tani does very much. No, thank you for that. As I said, that was something was interesting, as you said, that a lot of some people can speak in front of audiences, because I know speaking to strangers, it's like, oh, way much easier. But family, speaking the truth in some instances, I can relate to that. Like, yep, that's way worse. You know, sometimes this is where I see the world of texts and the email and all that kind of stuff. That's I thought, yeah, people communicate way too much that way. And you don't get to speak your truth, and I don't like that way of communicating. So that's the other reason why I thought, time to speak up, time to verbalise, and maybe my example will help other members of the family as well.
Great, that's wonderful. I'm so happy for you. And I'll just say with all of you, as you start to get out there and practice speaking your truth more, you know, sometimes it may not go down well, and when it doesn't, it's a chance to look at yourself and go, well, did I really have an expectation then of that, of their response? Because sometimes underneath it, we think we're being all objective, but really deep down we were hoping they'd react in a certain way, and they can always feel it. You can always feel it when someone has an agenda. Agendas, we are trained early on in our lives to notice agendas. They're very clear. Even if we're not conscious that we're picking them up, we're picking them up. And you know that in yourself when someone's speaking to you. You can feel that they're trying to change you. You can feel they're hoping you respond a particular way. We all know this. So if you speak and it doesn't go down so well, often you can it's just a chance to reflect back and go, well, I felt like I was speaking from my heart. I definitely was speaking my truth. Okay, so I did that bit good. That was so easy. But it didn't go down so well. So maybe somewhere in my energy field they were feeling a bit of a push. Maybe I was a little bit attached to the outcome. That's okay. I just want to notice that. Yeah, maybe I was a little bit. Next time I'll watch that. You know, there's no judgment. It's just noticing. It's just often a good sign that that's what's happened. So thank you all so much, the three or four people who shared. That was really awesome. We brought up some great points there. I'm going to take the hands down. So some people have asked in this course, and also the questions have come up in previous courses about speaking from the heart, speaking from the head, and people say, yeah, this is all very well to stand up and speak off the cuff, but sometimes I'm in a situation where I actually need a little bit more planning. I need, you know, and that's true. I mean, you know, there might be a situation where you have to deliver prepared content that someone else has prepared, and you are simply there as the deliverer of that content. Sometimes you're given a script or you're given a speech. Sometimes you're given a program to run, and most of the wording has been written for you, and you don't have that much room to change the wording. And that's okay. So I just want to speak to that first, and then we'll look at situations where you can plan. So the very first level is where you are given something that is yours to read or to deliver, or a process that you're facilitating, but it's very pre-planned from who you got it from. Or maybe you're delivering a presentation at work and you've been given the content that you have to say. Sometimes you're even given the wording. You can still deliver that from your heart. What makes a great actor different from a bad actor who's given a script is not just their ability to act, it's their ability to bring their heart through, to bring real emotions through. So if I'm reading a paragraph to you, I might just choose a paragraph and I'll demonstrate it. Let me just go over to my bookshelf. Oh, it's a bit challenging to walk. I'm a bit sore. Let me just wander over. Oh, it's a good book. Let's pick out Harry Potter. So let's say I'm reading you a paragraph of Harry Potter. Just pull it out. Let's find a chapter. Oh, okay, I've opened it at this page. Okay, so this is me speaking from my head. Chapter 6. The next day, however, Harry barely grinned once. Things started to go downhill from breakfast in the Great Hall. The four long house tables were laden with tureens of porridge, plates of kippers, mountains of toast, and dishes of eggs and bacon beneath the enchanted ceiling, today a dull grey colour. Dull cloudy grey. Harry and Ron sat down at the Gryffindor table next to Hermione, who had her copy of Voyages with the Vampires propped up against a milk jug. There was a slight stiffness in the way she said morning, which told Harry she was still disapproving of the way they had arrived. Neville Longbottom, on the other hand, greeted them cheerfully. Neville was a round-faced and accident-prone boy with the worst memory of anyone Harry had ever met. So that's me reading you Harry Potter from my head. Okay? Not very compelling. But if I tune into my heart, and I imagine the children that J.K. Rowling was writing for, and I imagine these characters, and I really feel into these characters and how much I love these characters, and I think of how fond of them I felt when I was reading the book or watching the movies, and I really connect into my joy and my own childlike nature as I read these words, the words are going to land very differently with the listeners. So I'm going to do that. Chapter 6. The next day, however, Harry barely grinned once. Things started to go downhill from breakfast in the Great Hall. The four long house tables were laden with tureens of porridge, plates of kippers, mountains of toast and dishes of eggs and bacon beneath the enchanted ceiling, today a dull, cloudy grey. Harry and Ron sat down at the Gryffindor table next to Hermione, who had her copy of Voyages with Vampires propped open against a milk jug. There was a slight stiffness in the way she said, "Morning," which told Harry that she was still disapproving of the way they had arrived. Neville Longbottom, on the other hand, greeted them cheerfully. Neville was a round-faced and accident-prone boy with the worst memory of anyone Harry had ever met. Now, can you hear the difference in that? I'm sure you all can. The second time when I read it, I had much more of a feeling of joy in my heart. I had love of the characters, I had love of the story, I had love of the novelist. I could imagine children listening to me as I was reading it. Now, obviously, I'm in a lot of pain, so I'm probably not in as high a state of joy as normal. But even so, sure, you could all hear the difference. So it's obviously, that's a very clear example when we're reading a children's book. But even if you're delivering a presentation at your office about science or about mathematics or about accounting, you can still connect into your heart and feel, how is this information going to serve this audience? Is this going to teach them something? Is this going to inspire them? Is this going to be useful for them? You know, is this information that has helped me in my life? Am I grateful for this knowledge that I'm going to share with them? Has it been helpful to me in my life? You know, is there anyone in the world who could benefit from this knowledge? If you connect into how you feel about the content you're sharing, even if it's the most boring thing in the world, it will land more powerfully with your listeners. So even with the most boring thing in the world, connecting to your heart will make it land more powerfully. And that's a good thing to know. Because then most of you women are not speaking about boring things. Most of you are going to be speaking about very interesting things. But just to know that even if you were speaking about totally boring things, if you come from your heart, it will still land more powerfully with your audience. So that's the first category. That's things where the wording is pre-scripted and we have no choice, we have to deliver that word. And sometimes you'll be in that situation. And then sometimes you have a situation where you have something that's been given to you that you kind of have to adapt. So maybe there's a template for a workshop that you're running, a training program that you're running, and you need to adapt it each time using, you know, for the particular audience, putting your own words into it a little bit, to bring out you're allowed to bring your own personality, your own perspective to it a little bit, but there's still structured processes in it that you have to take them through. So many of us who run workshops or training programs have that situation where a lot of the content is pre-scripted, but we can still use our own words or bring our own flavor to it. So in doing that, I would invite you that when you're in the planning stages, when you're sitting down to think, okay, how am I going to adapt this material for this audience? At that point is when you go into your heart. Not when you're standing up to deliver it. Obviously, you're going to go into your heart then. But when you're sitting down making your decisions about how to adapt it for this audience is when you're going to center yourself, do the tree exercise or breathing or walk around the block, connect to nature, whatever you do to center yourself, get your body free, do whatever processes you do, put your Fealty CDs on or go dancing, free your body up, get your body free, and then drop into your heart. And then just close your eyes and imagine this audience you're going to be working with. Connect from your heart to their heart and really set an intention for how would you like them to feel through this workshop, and what outcome would you like for them for this workshop? Set an intention for how you want yourself to feel when you're delivering the workshop, and what outcome in your highest good you want for yourself when you're delivering the workshop. Then when you sit down to plan how you're going to adapt this material for this particular audience, you're way more connected to them and their highest good and what it is they need to learn. You're way more connected to yourself, your own body, your own heart, and I guarantee that the way you design it will be way more powerful. And I can give you an example of that. I think Petra will relate to this one, and some of the others may, who may be involved with this. There's a particular process called the Awakening the Dreamer, Changing the Dream Symposium that Petra and I have both been facilitators of. It's from the Pachamama Alliance in the US, and I'm sure some of you have heard of it. It's a one-day event which is designed to take people from a journey of despair to empowerment around environmental issues, social justice, and spirituality. And you are given a very long, detailed script with processes and videos to show them and exercises to take them through and emotional processes to take them through and particular content you have to share. And in fact, there's even wording written out of the script. But it's designed to be adaptable. So sometimes you can teach it over a two-day workshop or a one-day process or sometimes a four-hour symposium. And I was invited by the Australian organisers of the symposium to do a presentation of the symposium at the World Parliament of World Religions last year. So here I am speaking at the Parliament of World Religions, and I'm used to delivering this symposium over a full day, usually 6 hours or something is what I would normally do. And I've been given 1 hour in front of all these people at the Parliament of World Religion. And I'm supposed to come after one of my heroes, who's this poet called Drew Dellinger, who I adore and really look up to. And he was going to be doing a presentation first, and then I was going to be coming on with another facilitator to present the symposium. And in the planning stages, I really noticed that all this planning was coming from the head. How are we going to knock this down into 1 hour? Which content do we need to put in? What content do we need to put in? What content should we take out? What's the most important content? With all these head decisions about the content. And because I've got a lot of learning in this area, I said to them when we were having our meeting, I said, hey guys, can we try something different just to see where it takes us? Can we just close our eyes and connect to how we want the audience to feel at the end of this hour? And we did that. And then we're like, I said, can we create some experiences in that 1 hour that will give them that feeling? What experiences can we give them so that they'll have that feeling? Forget the content. What experiences can we give them? And we came up with some incredibly quick, powerful experiences that were in the spirit of the symposium but weren't the exact processes. Some of them were the exact processes. They were shortened versions or more intense versions. And we cut out... there was hardly any content. We made a choice to really do experiences for the hour. We did some very key content. And the feedback that we got when we presented at the World Parliament of World Religions, and even people who'd done the full-length presentation found this more powerful. And I know from the bottom of my heart that the reason it was so powerful was because of the process we did when we were planning it, which was really getting clear to how we wanted the audience to feel when they were hearing this presentation, not what we wanted them to learn. Because when they felt the despair about the environment, when they felt the hope of the possibility of change, they left that room wanting to go out and change the world. Whereas if I'd been thinking, how much information can I teach them about the ozone and about, you know, species extinction, how much information can I give them about new technologies, they would have come out with their heads full of information, but they wouldn't have come out ready to go out and transform the world. And I don't think I would have come to that place of giving them all those experiences and inventing all those experiences if I didn't have this knowledge and understanding of how to plan from the heart. And I'm telling you that story to show you what's possible if you start learning how to plan from the heart rather than planning from the head. So that in your planning processes, you build in connecting to your body, connecting to your heart, connecting to yourself, connecting to your audience, and setting a clear intention for how you want them to feel and the highest outcome and the highest good. And let that structure your planning. You will plan your workshop very differently than if you're trying to teach them stuff from your head. Totally different content you'll plan. So that's the second level. When you have stuff that you need to deliver but not necessarily fully scripted, like an actor being given a script, but you've still got a lot of structure there that you have to implement and you're needing to choose how to adapt it. If you're really in your heart when you plan, then you're probably likely to choose those bits of it that are relevant to the particular audience in their highest good. And then if you stand up on the day of the workshop and you're really in your heart, not in your head, then what's going to happen is as the workshop unfolds, you'll be feeling into your audience's energy and noticing which things are really landing with them, which things they're not so clear on, which things you need to go into more deeply, which things you could drop out altogether. Because when we're really in our heart, connected to our intuition, connected to our body, we can make really powerful decisions on the spot. So I've been in workshops, I've even been in this course where I've cut out whole topics just off the top of my head, or I've added in a whole new topic that I never planned to do because I'm so connected to the audience, I'm so connected to my heart, I'm so connected to my higher intelligence that I know right now in this moment I need to cut that bit out and this is what wants to come out of my mouth instead. And when you get to that level of trust in your speaking, that you trust your own higher intelligence coming out of your mouth, you will not be nearly as attached to your plan. Your plan will just be a rough outline. And when you stand up, you'll know that the plan is great, but if it turns out that you're halfway through the day and your intuition is telling you to go in a different direction or to emphasize something or to spend more time on something and cut something else out, you trust that that is in the highest good of the audience. Rather than getting stressed about how you're running out of time and you're not going according to your plan and you're not going to be able to fit everything in, you're at a level of trust. We go, well, obviously I wasn't meant to teach that bit today because it didn't come out, but this bit I was much more important for this particular audience. And I didn't know that, and I couldn't know that until I was standing in front of them and I could feel their energy. So your plan is only ever a rough outline. You know, based on the questions I had from Maggio and Petra and Denise and Lyndon, I taught a whole bunch of stuff that I couldn't have planned teaching. So if you're, and often you don't need to have questions, you can just sense the energy, how things are landing, the look on their faces, their body language tells you which areas you need to expand on and which areas you don't need to waste too much time on because they already understand it. So that's the next level. And then the level under that is where you don't have a workshop that you're delivering with pre-planned anything. You can design your whole thing from scratch yourself. You haven't been handed down any content like in the symposium or like when I was reading Harry Potter. It's your choice to plan whatever you want for your speech, whether it's your speech to your parents or whether it's a presentation at work or whether it's a speech in public. So when you're speaking from that place, where it's totally up to you what you want to say, now is where it really becomes important to look at planning from the heart. So I just want to speak about this for a little bit. I'm noticing that as I'm more and more in my heart as this course goes on, as this call goes on, my body's feeling a bit less painful, so that's really interesting. Anyway, I want to give you this idea of traveling with a roadmap. So let's say I'm about to go to Europe for 6 months. There's two ways I can plan my trip to Europe. One way is I could plan that I'm going to leave Australia on February the 25th and then I'm going to land in Barcelona on February 26th and then I'm going to spend 2 days in Barcelona and then on February the 28th I'm going to go to Madrid and then I'm going to spend half a day in Madrid and then I'm going to catch a train down to Portugal and then I'm going to spend 4 days in Portugal and I'm going to see this, 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 and this. I'm going to tick them off the list and then once I've seen those five things and then I've stayed in that particular youth hostel and I probably will meet two or three people and I'm going to eat in this particular restaurant because I've heard it's really good. Then I'm going to catch that train on that date to France and I'm going to start in Paris. I'm going to spend 2 days in Paris. And you plan the whole 6 months of your trip to the day, to the minute, to where you're going to eat, where you're going to sleep, to which things you're going to visit. Now imagine what that holiday is going to be like. What happens if you're in Portugal and you meet the love of your life or your kindred spirit best friend you've been waiting to meet your whole life or, you know, your absolute total kindred spirit business colleague you've always wanted to partner up with? You're in Portugal and you've met this total kindred spirit love match or friendship match or business match and they happen to be going to Germany next week and you know that if you go to Germany with them, you guys are going to create this incredible business venture or have this incredibly romantic time or just deepen your friendship so powerfully and you've always wanted to go to Germany but it's not in your plan. If you're totally attached to your plan, you are stuffed. You're going to miss out. This person's leaving. You're never going to see them again. You know, you're stuck going to France next and going to that restaurant and that art fair. Now, we all know it's completely ridiculous. You can't have a holiday like that. I mean, some people do and they don't have much fun. But I know that the women on this call don't have holidays like that. We know that if we're a little bit freer, we can respond to what arises and we can find real joy and transformation in our lives. So another way, so then there's the no planning way at all. I'm just going to turn up in Europe and see what happens. Now that's okay if you're at such a level of trust that you know how to book youth hostels on the cuff, that you're okay to sleep in a car or you're okay to
crash in a youth hostel on the floor, and you totally trust yourself. You know you can handle not knowing where you're sleeping that night, turning up to a city at 11 p.m. with nowhere to sleep, and you're in such a level of trust that you know you always manifest somewhere to sleep, and you know you can make friends anywhere. Now, if you're at that level of trust, you can travel around Europe with not a single plan. I've done it. I backpacked for a whole year. By the end of that year, I was at a level of trust where I knew that I didn't need to plan anything. I could turn up anywhere and I could sleep anywhere and I was fine. The first half of my year, I didn't have that level of trust. I used to plan stuff. I used to look in advance, look up hotels in advance, book in what are the most important things to see in this town before I arrive, so I had a bit of a sense of what my options were. You know, I did a bit of planning. But by the end of the year, I knew that I could handle, me and my backpack could handle anything. So it's the same with speaking. If you're at a level of trust in your speaking where you totally know that you have done enough speaking, you've practiced this enough, you're at a really deep level of trust that no matter what the situation is, something will come out of your mouth that will be powerful and will fulfill your intention and will be useful for the audience. And I'm pretty much at that level now. I know that, yes, I would prefer to have a bit of a plan, but I can do it without a plan in any situation. I have that level of trust now. That's taken a long time. Some of you may be at that point very soon. And once you're at that point, you don't need to plan. But there is somewhere in the middle of these two extremes. There's somewhere in the middle of planning out every single thing you're going to do for the next 6 months in Europe and planning nothing. And that is, I call it a roadmap. You have a roadmap. You plan that, okay, I'm going to start in Spain. I'm going to spend maybe a week there, maybe 2 weeks there. I'll see how I feel when I'm there, but it'll be a bit of time. And then I know that I want to go to Madrid. I want to go to France after that. And I'm going to line up a few friends that I'm visiting who live in France. I'm going to tell them I'm probably going to be there in March. I don't know the exact date, but sometime in the first couple of weeks of March, I'm going to be arriving there. And if they've got some suggestions for some things to do, let's put it in there. I say to them, I'm pretty sure I'm going to want to go to the Louvre. I'm not 100% sure, but it sounds great. Let's assume that's what we're going to do unless something else comes up. And then I'm going to plan that in April, I'm probably going to be in Italy. So I'll line up some tentative accommodation for Italy. And, you know, so it's like a roadmap. So you know you're going to Spain, then France, then Italy. You've got a few people lined up to see. You've got a few museums lined up to see. You're not attached to whether you see them on Tuesday or Wednesday, but you know you're going to see them. That is planning from the heart. That's leaving yourself freedom, but still giving yourself a roadmap. So what it means is when you turn up in Spain, if you meet the love of your life and they want to go with you to go to Germany and it feels right for you, you can go to Germany and come back, maybe bring them with you to France. You see your friends in France, now you bring in this man with you or this business partner with you as well, and the three of you can hang out, and you still go to that museum that you planned, but maybe you go the following day. Maybe instead of spending the whole day there, you spend half the day there, and you go to this other amazing thing that they've told you about. It's like you've got a guide that keeps you on track so you don't feel completely lost, so you feel in a state of trust, you feel a bit of certainty, but you're free enough that you can go with what arises. And I want to use that metaphor when planning our speaking. So for this whole woman speaking course, the first time I ran it, I'd never run it. I didn't really know what was going to come out of my mouth because I'd never done it before and I had no idea really the level of learning that was going to come out. I knew I was going to have some stuff to say, but as I said, until I said it, I didn't know what it was going to be. So I drew up a plan. Point one, welcome everybody. I didn't say how I was going to welcome them. I just wrote point one, welcome everybody onto the call. Point two, set some ground rules for the call. And I think I may have jotted down a few ideas for ground rules, but just like one word of each. Confidentiality I jotted down. I can't remember now. Listening deeply I jotted down. You know, I jotted down four or five things, but I only wrote one word. I didn't jot down what I was going to say about it or any specifics or how long I was going to talk about it. I just jotted down those few words. Point three was probably heart meditation or centering meditation. I didn't plan what I was going to do in that meditation. I trusted that when the time came, I would look down at that sheet and I'd see the word centering meditation. I would close my eyes and some sort of meditation would come out of my mouth. I didn't have to say, okay, start with them connecting to their body and then imagine a flower petal in their heart and imagine them opening up each petal as they think of all the other women in the room. I mean, I didn't plan the specifics of the meditation. Now, for some people, you might at that point choose to jot down a couple of basic ideas. Centering meditation, use image of flower. That's enough. Don't need to write out the wording of it. You don't need to go into too much detail because you want to trust that when you turn up on the day, you glance down, it says centering meditation, use image of flower,
You drop into your heart and you see what comes out, and something probably much more powerful will come out than would have come out if you'd planned it in any more detail. Because in that moment where you look at the audience, you connect to their energy, the kind of flower you're going to describe is going to be different because it's going to be drawing on the energy of the people in the room. It's going to be specific to them. The process you do with that flower will be slightly different. You might ask them to feel the colors of the flower and then go into the heart of the flower and imagine connecting to the heart of all the other women's flowers in their heart. I mean, whatever. You're just going to make it up. But it will be informed by the people in the room. Whereas when you plan it in the abstract 3 weeks earlier before you've met the people and you plan this whole meditation and then you get in there and you've, as you start to read it out loud, you're feeling that it's not landing with them, it doesn't suit these particular people, it's not right for their energy, you're stuck. So then I probably wrote, speak to them about, I can't even remember what I did in week one. I'm going to look at my notes at week five, which is what I've got in front of me. So point one says welcome. Point two says debrief on head versus heart. So we did that. I didn't have any plan for it other than debrief on head versus heart. Point three, address the role of planning when speaking. And then I've got like two or three points jotted down here. To be honest, I haven't actually looked at them because I trust myself enough now to just speak. But if I was distracted, if my cat jumped on me and it distracted me and I forgot what I was talking about, I would look down at this sheet and I would see these three points and I'd go, oh, excellent, I've done the first two, this third one, oh, that looks interesting. And then I'd feel into it and go, is this third point actually relevant now? Have I already covered it? Do these people really need it? When I planned this course last year, it was for a different group of women. Does this point resonate with my current audience? So when something is just a roadmap, you can get to France and go, well, I'm in France now. How long do I want to stay in France? What do I want to do when I'm in France? Do I even really want to stay here for very long? Maybe I'm actually ready to go to Portugal now. It's the same when you're speaking. You have your notes, welcome, debrief, address the role of planning, do exercises with them, debrief at the end. You know, and as you go through each one, you can tune in. Okay, well, now that I'm up to this, does it still feel right for me to do this with these people? Or maybe they already know this stuff. Maybe I'm getting a sense that this particular group of women knows this point, so I'm not going to spend much time on it. I'm going to go much, much deeply into something else. Actually, one of them just asked me a question, and it feels like this is the real point for this particular group of women. I'm going to spend a bit more time on this than I did last time because it's more important for these particular people on this particular date and this particular month. In this particular time on the planet than it was last year, because last year we weren't in the ninth wave and we weren't towards the end of the Mayan calendar and things weren't speeding up to this extent and this point wasn't as relevant or whatever. So you can hear that when you set yourself a roadmap, which really just consists of you tuning into your heart, setting your intention, connecting to your audience, connecting to your body, and just feeling, you know, what points would convey this intention, and just put them down very briefly, just bullet points. And trust that when you get up to speak, you really will be able to run with it. Now, obviously, this is going to be about levels of trust. So if you've never done this before and you're about to give a 3-hour presentation, standing up with just one piece of paper of planning will be scary, maybe scary for you. So you might want to plan in a little bit more detail. You may want to have more detailed bullet points, and that's okay. But what's going to happen is each time you do it, planning from the heart, and then when you're in the moment on the day at the workshop or at the talk, you look down at that bullet point and you just pause and you feel into, okay, so this is what I planned last week, but is this still relevant now for this particular group? How much time do I want to spend? Does it feel like it's important for them? Actually, and you might find that something else comes to you that's even more brilliant than what you wrote on that sheet of paper. An even better example comes to you in the moment of what you were going to teach them. A better story comes to you than the one you planned you were going to say. So I'm just saying, when you look at that bullet point, just tune in, pause, tune in, and really feel what's there for you now. And you might be surprised. You might start to find that what comes to you in the moment is even better than what you planned. And then as you start to trust that, the next time you do it, you'll start to trust that you can do a bullet point and briefer bullet points. But I've got to tell you, even now, there are some talks I give where I write quite detailed plans, but I do know that when I get in there, I'm probably not going to look at it.
But the plan is just there as my backup. It's like my map of Europe with all my things highlighted and circled on it is there as a backup. If I get lost when I'm riding on my motorcycle, I can pull out my map. You know, so you have the planning there, not because you're going to use it necessarily in every single moment, but just in case you get lost. And when you know you have that there, your level of trust will be higher. So I say to people, write the plan, but plan it from your heart. Try and use bullet points rather than whole sentences. Be as general as you possibly can in your plan, but have it there. You know, have it there in the background. And you might use it more than you think. You might use it less than you think. But I guarantee that the more you start to do this planning from the heart, the more of a level of trust you're going to build. And as time goes by, you're going to use your plan less and less. I have a plan here. I very rarely look at it. But I know that if something happened and I lost my train of thought, I could look down at it, so it's good to have it here as a backup. And that's where everyone will get to. So I feel like I've talked a lot about that, and I want to give us a chance to actually do an exercise to experience this. So let me just see how many people we've got. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 people. Excellent. So we could probably do an exercise in pairs. Alright, so I'm just going to get a piece of paper and write down everyone's pairs so that if anyone drops off the call, I have you all written down. Alright. So we have Heather and Denise. Oh, actually, let me just do it first. Create groups, because the computer might put you in different pairs. Participants, pairs, commit. Oh, okay, it's put you in different pairs. Okay, so we've got Petra and Marion up here, number one. We have Lyndon and Jacqueline, pair number two. We have Denise and Margio, a group three. We have Beth and Gayatri. You're group four. And I'm going to ask, and we have Heather and Heidi, group five. I'm going to ask you all to really please stay on the call until at least the end of this process so that your partner doesn't get abandoned. And if you drop off, just dial back in and that'll be fine. Sometimes people drop off before the end of the class, and that's okay if you're in a group of three, but in a group of two, I'm really going to ask everyone to stay on until the end of the process. I'm hoping to stay on for the whole call, but if you have to leave early, at least wait till the end of the process. So what I'm going to give you is you're going to be doing a speech that is a two-minute speech or a two-minute talk to the other person. Your topic is going to be to tell them about your business or your job. If you don't have a business or a job, tell them about your hobby, one of your hobbies, just something that you do with your time. So you're going to tell them about your business or your career or your job or your hobby. You're going to tell them what it is that you're doing and why it's important to you. You're going to have 2 minutes to talk about this. I'm going to give you 5 minutes to plan your talk, but we're going to plan it from the heart. So we're going to do a process first before you pull out your pen and paper to really get you into your heart, to get you in a good place for planning from your heart. And then you're going to have 5 minutes to plan from your heart with your pen and paper. And I'm going to invite you to just write bullet points, to not write a script or any wording. I've just seen that Margio has pressed a button on her phone. I'm just going to check in case she's trying to tell me something, or maybe it was accidental. Go ahead, Margio. Were you trying to get my attention?
No, I'm sorry. It must have been a mistake.
No, you pressed it. That's okay. That's good. Just wanted to check because maybe she was telling me she had to leave early or something. Okay. So you're going to be planning. Let me just check. I'm a bit vague today. So see, today I'm looking at my notes way more than usual because I'm not in my flow because my body's so sore. So today I'm really relieved I have notes in front of me. I don't think I normally look at them very much, but I am today. So that's good that they're there as a backup. So when you write your notes, you're just going to write bullet points. You're not going to write sentences. So bullet points just means two or three words for each point. It's not like you're not going to write the exact words you're going to use. You're just going to write the idea or the heading, the main topic of that point. And I'm going to ask you to plan an opening and a closing and two or three main points that you're going to share with them. So that's what you're going to be using your 5 minutes to plan, your opening, your closing, and two or three main points. And then when you speak, you're actually going to have that there, but you're not going to necessarily even need to look at it that much. It's just a rough guide. If while you're speaking, something else comes to you that's more powerful or that you're more passionate about, go with it. Just go with it. No one who's listening has seen your plan, so they don't care if you depart from your plan because they don't know what your plan was. All they hear is what you say. Your plan's going to be there as a backup, but if when you're talking, you find something more interesting coming to you or more powerful, then that's fine. Okay? So I've told you the topic. The topic's going to be telling them about your business or your job or your hobby or your career, what it is and why it's important. You're going to be planning your opening, your closing, and two or three main points, and you're going to have 5 minutes to plan. But before we do that, I'm going to take you through a short process, because really, in order to plan from your heart, you need to be in your heart. You need to be connected to your body. You need to be in a state of neutral groundedness. So I'm going to ask you to put your pens and paper away first, just for a minute. And we're just going to do something to free the body and get ourselves centered and connect to our hearts. So closing your eyes, come to sit at the front of your chair. So you're not leaning back against the back of your chair. You're sitting on the front of your chair and just feel your feet on the floor. Feel your feet on the floor. Feel your buttocks on the seat. And now what I want you to do is just lift your left buttock a little bit and then lower your left buttock a little bit. And just lift your left buttock a little bit, and then lower your left buttock a little bit. So you might find your body tilts a little bit to the right as you lift your left buttock, and you can let that happen, let your shoulders tilt to the right. You might find your head is tilting to the right, or you might find your head is tilting to the left. Everyone will be doing something different. And then as your buttock comes back to the middle, your spine comes back to the middle. Your torso comes back to the middle. And then just pause and just rest on the edge of your seat. So I'm just doing a little process to free your spine very briefly and just bring your awareness into your body. Notice again how you're sitting on the chair, the weight under your two buttocks. Notice your back. Notice which parts of your back feel free, which parts of your back feel stiff. Notice the shape of your back. Does it feel straight or does it feel curved? And now let's come back to that idea of just gently lifting your left buttock a little bit. You'll feel your weight roll onto your right sitting bone, your right buttock as the left one lifts. And then your weight comes back to the middle as your left buttock lowers. Now we're going to add in a little extra thing, which is as you lift your left buttock, I want you to look over your left shoulder as if you were, as if someone was pulling a $100 note, $100 bill out of underneath your left buttock and you were watching it being pulled out, or they were pulling a piece of paper out. So as you lift your left buttock and they pull that piece of paper out, I want you to look with your eyes a little bit over that left shoulder, just a small movement. And you'll feel how now your head is tilting down to the left a little bit and the left side of your waist is getting shorter. The right side of your waist is getting longer. And then everything comes back to the middle. Your pelvis comes back to the middle. Your head comes back to the middle. And just doing that movement again, lifting the left buttock as you look a little bit over that shoulder without straining your neck, very gently, and come back to the middle. And you might even find that pressing the left foot into the floor helps you to lift that left buttock a little bit. The left side of your waist gets shorter. Then come back to the middle and have a rest. And if you want, you can rest back in your chair. This is just a very short movement, a little bit of 2 minutes of Feldenkrais movements just to free up your spine, get your awareness and tension into your body. If we plan with a free body, you'll find that the thoughts will flow much more easily. Come back to the middle, to the front of your seat again. And now let's play with the other side. Just lifting the right buttock a little bit, letting your weight roll onto your left sit bone, your left buttock. Slowly lowering your right buttock back down and gently press your right foot into the floor to help you lift your right buttock.
slowly lower it down, and then start to add that idea of looking a little bit over your right shoulder without straining your neck, just a small movement. It's just like you're looking in that direction. You don't actually have to see over your shoulder. If someone was pulling a piece of paper out from under your right buttock, you might not actually see it, but that's the direction you're looking in. And then you come back to the middle, and everything comes back to the middle. Notice how your right shoulder moves down as your right hip moves up. But the whole right side is shortening, and then you come back to the middle. And then pause, doing it very, very gently and slowly. And come back to the middle and just have a rest at the back of your chair or forwards in your chair. And now coming back to the front of your chair again, and let's leave the head out of it now. Your head can just stay in the middle. What I want you to do is just lift your left buttock a little bit, press your left foot into the floor, come back to the middle, and then lift your right buttock, press your right foot into the floor, and then come back to the middle, and just start to go from side to side. It's kind of like a dancing movement. You might still find that as you lift the left buttock, the left shoulder comes down a little bit. As you lift the right buttock, the right shoulder comes down. And just start to do this nice dancing movement from side to side. And if it doesn't make sense to you, the instruction, then just play with it in your own way. Lifting one buttock and the other, very light. And start to do it light and fast. It's a really nice way to free up the spine. And then leave it and just come back to sitting at the front of your chair again. And notice now how is your weight spread across the seat underneath your two buttocks. Notice the level of muscle tension in your back. Maybe that's changed. Especially if you were doing it nice and gently, it's probably released a lot. If you were pushing it, you might find you're a bit sore, but that's okay. It's just a learning next time to do things a bit smaller, more gently. And then notice how straight your spine feels now, where your head is. And just start to get a sense of your length of your spine, of the way your sit bones and your buttocks drop into the seat, the weight in your feet. Now with this nice free spine, start to bring your attention into the center of your chest, into your heart. Take a nice deep breath in and breathing out. And you might find that there's a bit more room there for breathing to come in now that you've freed the spine and the ribs a little bit. Take another big breath in. And then exhaling. And then start to really bring your awareness into your heart. And start to feel, coming into your heart, the energy of the other woman that you're going to be sharing with. And just start to feel her energy coming into your heart. And as you feel her energy coming into your heart, see if you can infuse her with your love. So as she comes in, it's like you're giving her the gift of love as you bring her into your energy field. As she comes in, you're infusing her with love, you're filling her with love, you're painting her with love, showering her with love, however, whatever image you want to use. Bringing her into your heart and decorating her with love, infusing her with love. And also feel that she's doing that to you right now. She's infusing you with love, painting you with love, decorating you with love. And just feel that in your heart. Have a sense of this beautiful woman who's currently decorating you with love. And have a sense of this beautiful woman who you are currently infusing with love. And then just keep that feeling of warmth in the middle of your chest. Now I want you to tune in to the fact that you're about to be sharing with her all about your business or your career or your hobby with no expectation of an outcome or a response from her. You don't need anything from her. You're just doing it as an opportunity to share with her. And I want you to take a minute to set an intention. I'm going to ask you to speak this intention in your mind, in your mind's voice out loud. I don't have you on mute, so I'm not going to get you to actually say it out loud because I want you to hear each other's intentions. But just in your mind's voice, I want you to set an intention out loud in your mind's voice about this 2-minute talk that you're going to give about your career, about your business, about your hobby. And I want you to set an intention for how you're going to feel when you give this 2-minute talk, and also how you're going to feel when you plan this talk, how joyful, how connected to your heart you're going to feel when you're planning it, how stress-free, how easy it's going to feel when you're planning it. and how you're going to feel when you're speaking. And I want you to set an intention for how your other person is going to feel when they're listening to your talk. So go ahead and do that. I'll give you some time. How you're going to feel when you're planning and when you're speaking, and how they're going to feel when they're listening. And then we'll do the second part of the intention after that. And so now what I want you to do is set your intention for the outcome for the listener in their highest good, and the outcome for yourself in your highest good. Without any expectation, just setting the intention, the outcome and the highest good. I'm going to give you a moment for that. And by declaring this intention to yourself, you're actually programming your subconscious, your higher self, inviting in any of your spirit guides to help you create a talk that's going to fulfill that intention. And it also programs you that when you're speaking, if something else should come through you that's even more powerful to further that intention, you're going to allow it to come through, even if you hadn't planned it. So now I want you to open your eyes, pull out your pen and paper, and I'm going to give you 5 minutes from this place of your intention being very clear and your body being free and you're connected to your heart to just plan. It doesn't have to be perfect, just whatever you feel like planning is fine. You're going to plan your opening, you're going to plan your closing, you're going to plan your main points for a 2-minute talk sharing about your business or your job or your hobby. So I'm going to give you 5 minutes, and at the end of that 5 minutes I'm going to ding the bell. And guys, I want to remind you to not write sentences. Just plan very brief bullet points. Remember, it's just a roadmap. Don't put in any details, just very briefly. And if you finish this process early, in fact, I'm actually going to ask you guys when you finish to press 1, because if everyone finishes early, then you'll have less than 5 minutes. But if you need the full 5 minutes, that's fine. So you're just writing bullet points, no details. And if you finish early, I've seen one or two people have pressed 1, that's okay. Just use this time to just stay in your heart, stay in this lovely place, remind yourself of your intention. And see if you can just not spend the time thinking about your content. Just let the content go now and just come back into a meditation. Trust that the content will still be there when you look back at your notes when it's your time to speak. Okay, ladies, you have just under a minute left, so just wrapping it up now. It doesn't have to be perfect. Okay, everyone, well done. Just pop your pens and papers down now, and don't worry if you haven't finished it all perfectly. It's really going to be just a very basic roadmap, because when you speak, it's really going to be about just speaking from the heart. So what we're going to do now is you're in your pairs. So I'm just going to check you've all got mics. Excellent. Everyone's got a microphone. So the first person in each pair will go first. So that's Petra, Jacqueline, Denise, Beth, and Heather. So you're going to have 2 minutes to just share from your heart. So when you start speaking, just take a moment to close your eyes, take a breath, reconnect to your intention. And then just start to speak, and you don't probably find you won't even need your notes, or maybe you glance at them occasionally, but it's really just about what wants to come out in this particular moment. So go ahead. Okay, just slowly bringing that to an end. Okay, well done, everybody. Don't worry if you weren't 100% finished. I actually gave you close to 3 minutes because it's such a big topic in 2 minutes. People seem to be still on a big roll at the 2-minute mark, so you've ended up having about 3 minutes, so that's okay. So we're going to pass to the next speaker, which is the other person in the pair, and I'm going to ask you again to just take a moment at the beginning to close your eyes, reconnect to your intention, and just have your notes there, but you probably find you don't really need them very much, and go ahead. Hey, ladies, I'm going to give you about a minute to wrap up. Okay, just bringing that to a close now. Okay, everybody, well done. So what we're going to do now is I'm going to give each of you 1 minute to share with your partner how it felt for you to plan from your heart, how it felt to you to speak just with the roadmap, just with the very brief, sketchy bullet points, and then how it felt for you to listen to their... and then they can give you some feedback about you know, how the speech landed, how they felt, and then you'll switch to the other person. But we're going to keep it very brief because we've only got 10 minutes left in the class. So just a minute for each person's speech. So I'll ring the bell at the end of the first minute, so go ahead. So just swapping over to the other person now. Okay, ladies, we're going to wrap that up. Now, I know that you all just shared about your work and that you all have lots you want to talk about with each other. I could really feel that you guys really want to have a good chat with each other about what you shared, not just about the speaking side of things. So I'm really going to encourage you to connect with each other through the Facebook group or swap emails or Skype each other and continue the conversation because you've just shared really powerfully about your own work. So I'm just going to give you 30 seconds to exchange email addresses or arrange if you want to catch up on Facebook or just shoot each other an email or something, because we haven't got much time to go into that today because today is really about the speaking side of things. So just go ahead and do that now. Okay, everybody, I gave you a bit more time then just so you could all spell out your email addresses and stuff, because I know that sharing about your passion is something that you can't just debrief on in 30 seconds, but we just wanted to talk about the speaking side of things at least. So I haven't been as on my game as usual today because I'm not in a very good state, which is why I haven't managed time as well as usual. So you can just see how when your body is free and you're connected to yourself, things like time usually flow effortlessly. I don't normally run out of time at the end of my classes, but today I'm a little bit off balance and that's what's happened. So it's just a good learning for me. It just reminds me why it is so important that I keep my body really free so that I can be really tuned in, and then time will flow more easily. So that's okay. It's a good learning. So what we're going to do is, well, at the start of next week, we're going to take a little bit of feedback and debriefing about what we did today. But if anyone is able to stay on the call an extra 5 minutes, I'll stay on a little bit longer so we can share a little bit about what happened. If you need to go, it's about 3 minutes until the end of the class. If you need to go on the dot of 12, that's okay, or the dot of the end of the hour. But if you can stay on for a few minutes, that would be good. So I just want to take the opportunity to hear from two or three people what it was like for you, if you could share with the group what it was like for you to do this process of planning from your heart, having notes that were just very brief and just really coming from your intention and seeing what it was like to speak with that kind of planning. So go ahead and press 1 if you want to share about that. I think it will be very useful for everyone. So I'm going to start with Heidi. Go ahead, Heidi.
Okay. Hello, everyone. And I really hope you get to feeling a lot better soon, Tawny. I know what this kind
you.
Of body hell is, and I know you're doing all the right stuff. So my healing thoughts are with you.
Thank you.
Yes. I just wanted to say that I planned in that 5 minutes, way more than I could possibly talk about in 2 minutes. I didn't really realize that until I started talking, and I ended up talking about 1/3 of what I had planned, but I talked about it in a little more detail than I had planned as well. And Heather felt like it was an engaging conversation, or felt engaged listening to it, so, and I felt good talking about it. So I
Great.
Guess that's it.
That's good. And you know what? If you were traveling around Europe, you might stay a bit longer in France and not end up in Italy and skip it and go to Spain, and that's okay. And that's the thing.
Yeah.
When we're planning without being too attached, it's just a starting point. It's just a backup in case we run out of things to say. Suddenly the speaker goes, actually, you've got another 10 minutes and you've got all this extra material there. You know, it's okay to have too much, because as long as when you actually stand up and speak, you're really connected to yourself, your higher self will organize the material to come out that needs to come out. The plan is really there as a backup. So that's good. Sounds like you did a really beautiful job. Okay, so I'm going to pass to Denise. Go ahead, Denise. See how that was for you.
Well, it's much the same as Heidi, actually. I found that I'd written more dot points and really just I seemed to stay on a couple of them, which was neat too, and the time went so much quicker than I thought it would go. And I wasn't near as nervous when I was planning it, like feeling like I might just hang up and run out of the room, which was interesting.
Good.
So that was really nice. And I got to speak about my essences that I make, which I have a real block on, but today I didn't, which was really, really nice, and I got good feedback from Margio. Yeah, and I realised that I don't have to be an expert to share my gift with everybody, so that's really nice.
Absolutely. That's wonderful, and that's absolutely the truth. You don't have to be an expert. You just have to be passionate and authentic, and that's enough for people. And all you have to know is a little bit more than the person listening, and then they're learning something. And that's a really good thing to remember. I always remind myself that. Okay, I'm going to see what Petra, what's for Petra, and that's our last share, so let's listen to that. Go ahead, Petra.
Hi, guys. One of the things that was interesting, and I suppose you mentioned the expert. For one, when I went last week, I just found it so challenging and I was nervous and I couldn't even get to the minute. And I thought, wow, you know. And today, I didn't realise you said it was 3 minutes, and I'm going, I haven't got half of what I wanted to share. So it was kind of because I was talking about my passion. But it was interesting too when I wrote down my passion, and my passion is getting people to connect to themselves, realizing how important that is, and how then that flows on, and as Tani says, connecting to the heart. And most of the time what we do is we put other people outside of ourselves as the experts. And yes, they are experts in their own field, and we can learn from them. However, it's also appreciating that we are our own experts too, and not devaluing that. And that's one of the things where I put everyone else out there as more of an expert, and I don't matter, and so therefore I devalued myself. And I thought, no, we all are experts. We all have something to share. We all have something important. And it's valuing that and taking that to where we can take it with appreciation. So that was what was really, that came out, and even with the people sharing. So I thank you for that.
Pleasure, Petra. That's absolutely true. And not just we all experts. Usually, often, deep down, it's stuff we know we've just forgotten. You know, on some level, a lot of the wisdom that we're learning from the great teachers out there, we all know. We've just forgotten it. So that, I sometimes remind myself of that, and that helps me not to put people on a pedestal. So that's beautiful. So thank you all so much for today. Thank you for all of your love and support. It's been a slightly more challenging for me than usual, but it's actually been surprisingly easy as well. I've just really found it flowed and effortless, and it just shows if you stay in your heart and just be honest with people and vulnerable, then things tend to flow pretty well. Even if you've injured yourself, even if you've left your notes at home, even if you spilled your stuff on yourself in the car and you turned up to your speech with a stain on your top, you know, whatever happens, if you're honest about it, if you're authentic about it, if you accept it, if you're coming from reality rather than wishing things were different, and you go with it, you stay in your heart, things usually work out okay. That's what I've learned. So thank you all so much. I can't believe next week is our last week. I really want you to spend this week doing a lot of practice of speaking from your head, speaking from your heart. If you have any opportunities to do a talk and you can practice this planning from the heart, that would be good, because next week's really the last chance for us all to discuss all this stuff together. And next week we're going to be taking it even further and looking at connecting to our higher self when we speak. So also have a think about, I'm actually curious, I might just ask you guys, who's feeling like they would be interested in going further with this learning? Because I haven't decided yet if I'm going to run small coaching groups, because I'm not sure if I'm going overseas or not later in the year. But if I'm not, then I'm thinking about doing that again, which is what I did last year. And what we did last year was we had groups of 4 people in each group, and we ran it for about 8 weeks. It was a weekly class for an hour. And because we're working in small groups, each group was very different to the other groups. Four people needed, and it was usually stuff about managing the energetics of an audience, how to deal with different kinds of people in the audience, speaking from the heart versus speaking from the head, speaking without an agenda, learning how to tell stories without dragging people into your stuff, just really much deeper looking and much greater detail than a lot of the things that I've touched on in this course, and really playing with them, doing lots of processes and building the levels of trust. So I found that it worked really well doing it in groups of 4. Last time I did it, it was an audio, but I'm now looking into the possibility of doing it as a video group, which means we could all see each other, which would be really lovely. But I haven't yet figured out the technology of that, but that may be possible. But anyway, before I look too deeply into it all, I just want to see if there is interest in that, because if there isn't, I'll go and figure out the best medium, whether it's audio or video. So if anyone's interested in going further in small groups for about maybe 8 weeks or something, press 1 on your phone and it'll just give me a sense, and if not, that's okay, and that'll just answer the question for me. Oh, cool. I've seen quite a lot of hands go up. All right, so I'm going to have a little bit of a think about the best way to do it. With everyone being in different time zones, we'll try and put people together who are going to be awake at the same time. And, yeah, I'll figure it out. Okay, well, that's good. That gives me something to go on. So I'll go away and I'll figure it out and look into the possible mediums, whether we want to do audio or video, and I'll let you know next week what I've come up with. And hopefully, if I tune into my heart when I plan it, it will hopefully suit everyone. So that seems to be how it works best. All right, wonderful, gorgeous women, I shall see you next week. Have a lovely, lovely week. Practice, 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 and I'll see you next week. I'm going to put you all on unmute so you can all say goodbye to each other.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.